And hello, everyone. Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, the program that dares you to think outside the box of convention with Patricia Corey. It's me. I have been gone taking care of the holiday season for the last 2 weeks, as you might have noticed if you tried to tune in. And so I'm back with a really dynamite guest. Stephen Jacobson, I'll be introducing him in a minute. But before I do bring him on, I would just like to remind you that if you've had, hopefully, a reflective, peaceful time during these holidays of chaos reigning, that you bear in mind that we're moving into a new presidential period, to keep your mind open to what that's going to mean, to not buy into the hype, into the PR of it all, and to recognize it for what it is. And that makes more sense to you when you hear my guest tonight start to talk about mind control in America. So I hope you can enjoy that. That is a really nice segue to bring him on. Here he is, Stephen Jacobson. Let me just tell you a little bit about him. He spent 13 years in the film industry, and he is a graduate of the Boston University School of Communications. Once he realized how the mass media was manipulating the minds of Americans and, of course, the world, without their knowledge or consent, he abandoned the filmmaking industry and has gone on to dedicating himself to helping people learn about how they're being manipulated, researching the hypnotic techniques being used to transform free-thinking people into mindless consumers. You know, this is one of my pet arguments. We'll be talking about subliminal seduction as well. Hi, Stephen. Thank you for coming on my show.
Hello, Patricia. It's my pleasure to be with you, especially to talk about such an important issue that affects each and every one of us, whether we are consciously aware of it.
Well, of course. I mean, we're going to talk about how we can become more consciously aware of it, but I am very excited about having you on because in my own work, I've been dedicating myself for many years of trying to help people to understand the subliminals. And, boy, is this a big subject. It's going to be interesting where to find a point of departure. So let's start by talking about your work. And I've just heard your amazing, little frightening CD. And I would like you to talk about an overview of what the work is that you've taken on. And let me just also tell people that, not now, because you'll miss Stephen speaking, but after the show, be sure to check out his website, which is www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. Okay, tell me a little bit about how you approached this work of creating these series of messages for the world.
Certainly. A good point of departure would be to expand a little on my background and how I came to investigate this whole issue of mind control and mental manipulation. It goes way back. In fact, it goes back to when I was a child. I had questions about what was going on here. I knew I didn't understand, and I didn't know where to go. And I came to feel that the adults didn't really know what was going on either, and that everyone was kind of they didn't have all the information that they needed. I went through public school wondering, how do I know that what they're telling me is true? And all the way through high school and college and getting out into the workplace and working in media, it was still eating at me. What is really going on here? And even while I was working in New York City, where I worked as a film editor, I worked in the film industry in a number of different capacities, but primarily as a film editor. And working as an editor, it was easy to see how simple it is to change the meaning of an event or change the meaning of what someone says through simple editing. And so I was very well aware of how plastic and moldable media reality is. But in spite of that, I didn't fully appreciate the extent to which we are all manipulated by media, even those people who work in it, until I was given the results of private research investigating programming and deprogramming. And this was back in 1980. My father was trained as a hypnotist. He worked as a therapist, a hypnotherapist. And he did research work for a number of years and developed an audio that doctors at one time wrote prescriptions for their patients to get the audio to aid in the treatment of different health problems. Physical problems, emotional problems, psychological problems. It is an audio that helps retrain the listener to do something that comes natural to us as children, and that is how to be comfortable and relaxed. All health problems have a basis in stress, tension, and anxiety. People are living with a level of anxiety and tension that they consider normal, and it's anything but normal. The more stressed out people are, it affects our not only our health, but our perception. When we're all uptight,
I would like to interject that, you know, I mean, we can honestly say now that people across the board are talking about feeling like they're in a vice and they're being squeezed to the point of hysteria.
Oh, absolutely.
I do see people just basically popping. I mean, I really feel that people are just popping now, mentally just cracking under the pressure, and this screw keeps turning and turning and turning.
Well, that's because we, the people not only of our nation, of America, all nations around the globe, are suffering from a scientifically induced nervous breakdown. Literally. I don't mean to be facetious. I'm all serious about that, because
I know the laugh is kind of a sort of a desperate reaction, but I do understand what you mean.
Well, that vice is like both psychological warfare and economic warfare are being waged against the population, and that's that vice that people have been that's putting the squeeze on people.
And so the interesting thing is more people are becoming aware that it is a construction, that the economic situation has been constructed, as we both agree, to bring in the New World Order.
Oh, yes.
Nonetheless, it's playing out personally, very realistically, to the point that people really are torn between believing it and understanding it, if you follow me.
Yes. Well, people generally don't think about the things that affect them subconsciously because they don't know what to look for until someone comes around and starts pointing these things out to them, and then they can recognize them when they observe it. And that's what we're going to do today, and that's what the purpose of my work was, to investigate the issue, produced educational materials that would help people be able to recognize these techniques when they were being used, so that they could pull away from them and maintain a certain integrity, autonomy of their own mind. Because what's happening is it's an invasion of our privacy of mind.
Indeed. I'd like to start by asking you this. You talk in the video about how television is basically plugging right into the brain circuitry.
Yes.
And I'd like you to elaborate on that, but before you do, I'd like to ask you, why do you feel some people, without even consciously thinking about it, are not entrained to this mind control? Why is it that some people, even television watchers and people that follow the media, don't buy into it, and some do?
Well, it's an interesting question, an important issue. We are different. Our experiences are different. One person has spent more time in front of the television than another, then they're going to be more susceptible to this influence. How spiritually minded one is. Will have an effect, because first and foremost, the mind control issue is a spiritual issue. That the mind is the gateway to the soul, and so that's why there is a mind control issue. It's trying to place a wedge, interfere with the expansion of consciousness and growth, spiritual growth of the population. They're trying to hold it.
Do you feel that the person who is spiritual, on his or her spiritual path, has somehow I'm not sure I understand what I'm about to ask you. It has something to do with the actual or reorganization of brain waves or the vibrational frequency so that this lower stuff can't come in, can't resonate and find frequency with that person's brain patterns.
Well, I think that is something that's going on anyway with this shift in consciousness and the new paradigm that is coming about anyway in spite of what the elitist globalists are trying to do in fashioning their so-called New World Order. There's a plan being worked out that is for the benefit of all life, all humanity, and that is for the higher resonance, higher consciousness for the entire planet.
And when you say there's a plan being worked out, are you talking about higher beings?
Yes, I am, yes.
You want to elaborate on that? Because
plan.
I love that subject.
Yeah, the master plan that is for the benefit of everyone, including these guys who are trying to control everything and are trying to enslave the entire population.
I'm glad to hear you talk about that, because so many times when we do talk about this dark side, it's very important to me that we always bring it up to the higher. Okay, we can look at it, we can analyze it, chew on it, but let us always bring it up to the higher place where we understand that no matter how dark the dark ones are, there is a little spark of light in there somewhere, because all beings are sparks of divinity.
That's correct.
And so when I'm focusing on these little ones, and as far as trying to understand or help them, I always bring myself to remember that. It helps me deal with it.
Yes, because they need help.
They're sick.
Yeah. Else they would be utilizing their talents and their monies and their resources for the betterment of the all mankind, all life on the planet, and they're not doing that. And that's their choice.
Right. Well, it is definitely a time of supreme polarity on this planet. And it's a very interesting time to be here, and I think it's always important to remember that we chose to come in at this time to serve. Some people chose to serve the dark, some people chose to serve the light.
And and also because of the speed with which we can make progress under these circumstances, under these
Indeed.
Difficult circumstances, people can make greater strides spiritually.
Somebody once told me, well, they called in the big boys for this era, so we got to be tough. I do love the idea that there are a lot of real warriors on the planet right now for the real, real light workers that are in position to do what needs to be done. And
all over the planet, because else the planet would wobble off its axis. It kind of keeps things in balance. It needs that.
Indeed. So let's go back to this interesting discussion that you talk about how TV plugs into the brain.
Sure.
I think it's very important for people to understand this concept.
Because, television provides so much as an illustration of both the principles of mind control and the techniques. So much going on here. And aside from that, television is the most powerful weapon of psychological warfare in history. And I'll say that again, because it is so important for people to ponder that television is the most important, most powerful weapon of psychological warfare in history. I dare say that many people think of television as a member of the family.
Indeed, and to think of people plopping their kids down in front of the screen for 6 hours a day, and another 3 or 4 before the computer games, is really very frightening. I think that people need to become much, much more aware of what's happening with their kids.
Well, that's right. They don't, as well as
their children.
They don't understand what they're doing and the effect that television has on their children and on them. But it's become, over a period of time, it is the primary source for many people of information, entertainment. After a hard day's work trying to eke out a living, people come home tired. They plop themselves down on the sofa or favorite easy chair, reach for that remote, turn the set on, and the mind goes on hold. And that's where the problem is. television.
Even the act of using the remote is bringing those frequencies right into your physical body. People don't even recognize that.
No, because they don't. They go into a trance state. Television induces a hypnotic state of mind, and that's what makes the medium the ideal mechanism for the transmission of propaganda, and why it's so important to advertisers and to propagandists. The first order of business for a propagandist or an advertiser, and they're basically the same thing. One is dealing with trying to get people to buy a product, the other trying to get people to buy an idea. The first order of business is to create the circumstances that will induce a state of mind where their message is received favorably and without any resistance. That state of mind is the hypnotic state of mind, and television induces it automatically, making it the ideal medium for propagandizing the population.
How does it do that?
The very nature of the technology itself, the picture, although it appears to be static and stationary, is actually flickering. We don't see the flicker consciously, but subconsciously the repetitive pattern induces the trance state. The whole point inducing the hypnotic state of mind is to get the subject or the target population to focus the attention of the conscious mind on one or more of the senses. In the case of the media, we're talking about the sense of sight, the sense of sound. Get the subject to focus their attention on that, and it clears the mind of all thought. Now, in that state of mind, we are the most receptive to mental programming and more vulnerable than at any other time. So it makes it the ideal means for indoctrination and education. Now, television, again, does it automatically. Doesn't matter what you're watching, although there are techniques that are employed to deepen that trance state, and I'll give a few examples in a moment. But the basic premise is that it is the flicker effect that you don't see consciously. But if think back sometimes when you're driving at night, going through a neighborhood, and you might remember seeing the blue kind of flicker coming from living room, people's living rooms.
Yes.
That is a that flicker effect occurring in old movies, black and white movies. In the background, if there's a television set on, very often you'll see these black lines going up and down, roll bars, because it hasn't been compensated for the 60 cycle flicker. So that is a visual representation of what is happening. It is that the repetitive motion that induces the trance. And if you think back to whenever you have observed young children or older adults sitting in front of a TV, they have this glassy eye, the vacant look in their eyes, because they are in a trance state. And we can even catch ourselves going into that state watching television, where you lose all sense of time and place. It's a physiological response. It literally has plugged into our nervous system. Television has been around for about 60 years now. And so you have a number of generations that have grown up with it, and we've been hardwired by that TV set. Now,
Stephen, plugging it into our nervous systems, that really gives me the willies.
Well, it should, and it should be something that is of concern to your listening audience, to share this information with their family and friends and community, because it is only through education that people are going to recognize what is happening out here. And then, but there are more of us than there are of those people who are trying to dominate the planet and dominate the minds of the population. There are more of us than there are of them. As more people come to understand how they are manipulated and controlled, it will stop.
And how do we get that message out to these people?
Well, that's what I've been trying to do.
Since they run the TV and media industry.
Right. Well, that's why the Mind Control in America audio series, what radio I do. What I found, a lot of the smaller stations were bought up by some of the major media conglomerates, and they won't deal with this topic, obviously, because they don't want people to understand how the mass media is being used. But these audios...
Well, that's why I'd like to thank my producer, Donald Newsom, who runs BBS Radio, because he has the courage and the energy to keep this station going and keep the voice of truth getting out to the people.
Yes, and it is an accomplishment, and it is a mission.
It definitely is, and I think we all are in it to the neck,
yes.
To the neck.
Yes, it's a commitment of service to not only service to mankind, service to God, to serve God by serving mankind. That's why when I recognized what was happening, and as a result of my father's research primarily that he turned over to me, and then I began investigating this whole issue of the use of mind control and hypnotic techniques, and with the intent of putting together educational materials, summary information that would be helpful to other people who didn't have the time or inclination to research it. So the audios are the result of more than 10 years of work. The Mind Control in America is a summary of the mind control issue, defines the principles involved, some of the techniques used, gives examples for the listener to hear, so that the listener has that frame of reference to be able to recognize these techniques, and then places it in a historical context. Very often people, even when they understand what's going on, they have difficulty sharing the information with other people, especially family or friends, who think some of this information is just too far out. They think that how could something like this be happening? But it's meant to help people like that, who do understand what's going on, to sit people down, sit their family members down, and let them hear this, and let it be a serve as a point of departure for further discussion. Now,
and truly, you think about some people are many people are resistant to the idea of advertising having subliminals to buy products, and imagine what it takes for people to embrace the idea that the entire political movement in the world is being fed to us and trained within us. Compliance with all of the atrocities that go on in this planet are being entrained within us through the news media and also the other programming.
Oh, for sure. It's all programming. That's why they have, the networks have programming departments in the record company.
Yeah, it's very
programming departments. That's the name of the game, the programming, conditioning,
yeah.
The population. But we
what is just a quick question here? You in your video. Sorry, I keep calling it a video. I'm stuck on that word. In the audio, you talk about distraction and you talk about hypnosis. Can you describe to us
it's a technique. You're distracting the conscious mind to focus its attention on a point to clear the mind of thought. So that's it's a technique. Distraction is a technique. Confusion.
So when you're looking at the screen, you're distracted, and then the hypnotic suggestion can come in.
Right. See, when the mind is in that state, then information, the messages, can be programmed directly to the subconscious mind without the interference of critical analysis. The whole point is to bypass critical analysis and people's ability to make decisions about whether or not they're going to accept information as true or not. If someone is presented information and they make the decision that, that's true or it's not true, then that piece of information is filed away in the memory banks, the subconscious mind, with that identification tag, with that file code. They want to bypass, and they do bypass, that whole mechanism so that they can attach a code to it that can be triggered at a later point. The whole idea of programming is to build into people conditioned responses so that they respond automatically to an idea, to buzzwords, to product, automatically without thinking about it.
So how do you recommend to people, how do you help people understand how to protect themselves? Of course, avoiding the television completely is a first step, but since we live in a real world here and we know that we're dominated by so much video input, how do you assist people to understand what to do to screen out some of this information?
Well, be selective in what you're looking at. But first, again, that's why the Mind Control in America audio series, with that information on there, as a guide for people to understand what's happening. And then if you want to watch a DVD by your choice, fine, go ahead. Be selective in what you're viewing, but don't do as so many people do. Use the television as a means of filling up an empty life, or trying to soothe a broken heart, and anxiety and depression. That only is going to
get more.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Let's remind people that you can find out more about these incredible audio support system from Stephen on his website, www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. You're going to want to really explore that site. And are these available also on Amazon? Or
No, they're not yet. Eventually, I'm looking to do that, but right now it's just from my website, or from the people can mail in their order. There's an order form that they can print out on the website. And it's my www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. It has all the information on there for both the Mind Control in America and the Wake Up America audio, which is also about mind control, but as it applies to money and economics. Again, it's a twin pincer movement that people are feeling the pressure from, and that is both the control of information, the manipulation of mental states through the media, and the manipulation of the economy to put pressure on people. And the Wake Up America audio is about that, the economic side of the equation. The problem with the economy is the money. It's what we're using for money. That's what the problem is. And people don't, it's not their fault unless it is in a way because we don't get taught true economics in public education or in college. And it's a matter of doing your own homework and making an investigation for yourself. If you want to know something, then you go dig. If you have the time to do that, or make the time to do it.
You make the time to do that.
It's
interesting that as we see this unfolding, you hear people talking about they were just grateful to get a job to keep the family together. They lost their job, they lost their house, all of these stories that are coming out. And I look at this and say, okay, so in other words, the power elite want us to be in gratitude, to be in slave labor.
Yes, absolutely. That's what it is. The money
system.
Be
reduced to slave labor and grateful to be able to have that slave labor employment. It's just outrageous.
There's a term for that, the Stockholm Syndrome, where people have been abducted or taken hostage and come to love their captors.
Sure.
And it's based on a similar idea. I think you've expressed it well, that people are grateful to have a job.
To love our captors is
yes.
Just the same syndrome indeed.
Yeah.
Let's go on to... I'm fascinated about reverse speech. And on the CD, you really just... It's amazing when you play that music backwards. So I'm going to want to go to that subject next. But before we do, is there anything more that you want to... I mean, obviously we could talk for hours about this, but any more specific information you want to discuss about the television as a tool of...
Sure. A couple of points I'd like to make before we go on to the backward masking and reverse speech. That basic means of transmitting information in society is through stories and storytelling, which makes the arts an and entertainment so vital, and the transmission of cues and information about how society works and what's right and wrong, that the arts are an outgrowth of religious observances. Originally, that's where it all came from, ceremonial observances to teach young people with theater, drama, music, to implant ideas and to teach spiritual truths. So storytelling, entertainment is not just entertainment. It's more important than that. And it all has ideological content to it. So the pressure needs to be brought to bear on the captains of the entertainment industry, and they need to and will be held accountable for what they have done to the population in the name of profit. That they do have a
response. In the name of profit and obedience to the one world order.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Because it's more than just the question of profit. I mean, they're there to get a message of disempowerment to the population.
That is correct. The point about storytelling, because there isn't much difference between a primitive man sitting around a campfire, fixated on the flickering light of the campfire, and stories being told about how society works, what's right and wrong. Not much difference between that and modern man sitting in front of the flickering light of a television and being told, shown what's right and wrong, what's acceptable and unacceptable behavior. Coming later, in the next month or so, February 19th, the conversion over to digital HDTV mandate.
Yeah, what's the deal with this now?
Well, you know, it isn't that the government is concerned about everyone being able to see crappy TV shows with greater clarity.
Exactly.
There's a lot more to it than that.
This have to do with manipulation of energy frequencies?
Well, it all does. There's more going on here. A digital signal can be altered with greater facility. There's a time delay there where information in the scene can be deleted or added to, both the picture and sound. It allows for connecting all media, all communication to the Internet, and it facilitates two-way communication. In other words, it allows for the surveillance of the population. There's the claim that by some who have taken apart some of the HDTVs and these boxes, that there is both camera and microphone in there, so that...
That's amazing. You're the second person who's ever said this, because years ago I had a friend who worked for a satellite company, and he told me that one out of so many televisions, he said, with that little red light that's connecting you to the channel-changing remote control, one out of, I think it was 25 TVs, had a camera watching you.
So, you be careful how you dress in front of your television.
Yeah,
you never know who's watching.
Sorry?
Be careful how you dress in front of your television, because you never know who's watching.
So then you do confirm this?
Well, you know, I would be surprised if they're not doing it. And that,
well, when you're talking about digitalizing the signal so that they can observe you.
Yes.
You're basically saying it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
You're not wanting to say it.
Oh, no, I'm not wanting to say it, no.
But you are saying it.
But I am saying it, yes. It's part of the... See, they're very paranoid. They're afraid of us and the power that is lying dormant within each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have been made to feel powerless, and that we can't, there's nothing that we can do as individuals in this onslaught towards the New World Order. That's just, it's an accomplished fact. There's nothing we can do.
According to them.
That's not necessarily so.
Well, you know, it definitely isn't the mindset of people who are seekers of spiritual enlightenment.
Right. Right.
We see beyond it. And we even have empathy for these ones.
Yes.
As hard as it is.
Yes, it is very difficult at times, isn't it?
It is. It is hard to have empathy. Yeah, when I teach my workshops, I tell people to try to love these guys, and they look at me in horror, and I say, just remember that, you know, they're bad enough to wake us up. The worse, the more obvious they are, the better they are for us. They look at me quizzically when I say that, but my point being, the more obvious these guys are, the more dominant they are in these activities, the more we awaken.
Yes.
It's the insipid ones that we are more troubled by.
Well, everyone has their purpose in life.
So tell me more about the digitizing, how do you call this?
Digitizing of all communication. I mean, you got...
are we going to have a choice for this, or are they just going to put this...
Well, you know, it depends, because it was mandated, I think it was back in 2006, that this was supposed to happen, and people didn't buy the unit, so it was pushed up. We'll see what happens on February 19th, whether or not...
What happens on February 19th? Can you remind
that's
us?
That's when the switchover VETS goes into effect. That if you haven't bought either a new HDTV or the converter box, and interestingly enough, the government is providing coupons, $40 coupons for people if they can't afford the box to be able to get it.
They want you to have this box, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so they wouldn't be underwriting it like that.
Get the box. So if you don't get it, what'll happen? Does your TV turn into Jell-O?
Well, no. You won't be able to get a signal. You won't be able to watch your favorite TV shows. And wouldn't that be?
Well, now I think that people should recognize this as a wonderful opportunity to dump the TV.
Well, you know what's interesting, though? People will go through withdrawal symptoms. Literally.
Oh, of course.
Because research has been done with children who have been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, which is a condition...
I wanted to talk about that, in fact.
Pardon?
I wanted to talk about that, in fact.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that up.
You never heard of it prior to the advent of television. Television...
Well, I don't think that it's even television. I think it's an invention.
Television is a factor, and I'll explain why. Because it has to do with this the plug-in effect that it's plugging into our nervous system, literally plugging into our nervous system. A young child can sit fixated, motionless in front of a TV, but away from the TV they have a lot of nervous energy and they can't focus their attention.
It's like withdrawal.
Right, well, yes, because endorphins are released as a result of the interface between the TV and our nervous system. What's happening is that the quick cutting that was developed in music videos and TV commercials, when you cut from one angle to another, change from one scene to the next, especially with the quick cutting patterns, there's a corresponding chemical electrical response in the brain. It releases endorphins that have a drug-like effect on the viewers. That's why young children can sit motionless watching, but then they're looking for that fix when they're away from TV. That's why they have all this nervous energy.
Well, that and the computer games.
Well, that too. Yeah,
children on these games.
Sure. Same
and
thing.
And I have never played these games except once on an airplane when I was faced with a 12-hour flight and I had the little screen and I was playing this ridiculous game, Space Invaders, so I could understand what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And after playing this for about an hour, I was gnashing my teeth, my body was in high anxiety, and after I turned it off, I could still see the little Space Invaders coming down in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I could still see them in my, like when you play poker for 24 hours and you can still see the cards. And I thought, imagine these kids that are playing, this was a simplistic little game on the airplane. Imagine them with these high-tech, awesome video, violent, most of them are very violent games.
Mm-hmm.
They're just triggered to the max.
Oh, yes.
They're in high, high anxiety. They're 7, 8 years old and they're already at this high, high level of anxiety. And then they're going to go sit in the classroom and listen to some boring, very underpaid, boring, okay, I don't want to turn off the community of teachers out there, but usually teachers are overburdened and underpaid.
Yes, that's the general rule.
And they're working with materials that are outdated and unexciting, and they certainly can't compete with that kind of electromagnetic impulse input.
No, and that's why many schools have tried to incorporate mass media as part of the classroom experience to maintain the attention of the students.
And I bet you they're going to get the digitizing signal, too, if you get my drift.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Interesting point of information about these video games is that they were developed initially by the military, called multi-purpose arcade combat simulators. The more violent games, where in effect, what's happening is that young people are being trained as and honing their skills and be able to use firearms.
Most definitely, they're being trained to be robotic killers.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, once again, I've got Stephen Jacobson with me. If you just tuned in, you know, don't leave this dial or wherever this place is in cyberspace. He is the creator of a series of CDs. Am I going to get this right?
Yeah, they're available on audio cassette and CD.
The site is, go ahead, Stephen.
www.mindcontrolinamerica.com is the website. www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. The audios are Mind Control in America and Wake Up America. And also, I have made available the audio that my father developed, which is called Personal Comfort Training. And there is a link to that information on my website, giving him the information about what that is and his background and it makes a package because it is a health-based audio that is meant to not only help people relax and I'd like to say that it's the only audio that you need to have in your medicine cabinet because it is a health-based audio to help you get more in tune with your natural rhythm. And the verbal content of it is a health-based verbal content that is designed to dissolve and dissipate negative programming that has been accumulated over
all of our lives. Oh, this sounds really wonderful, especially now when people are just at the breaking point.
Yes.
And does it help people visualize the healthy body?
Yes, it does, because it's the directive is to facilitate a perfect health of mind and body.
Wonderful.
That's
people are going to want to get that.
Yes. So it makes a package to educate people about the mind control issue, the psychological warfare aspect of it, the media, how it's been used, placing it in historical context, the Wake Up America about the economic component, how the economy is manipulated, how our money system is patently dishonest and was designed to be a slave system.
Yes.
And how they both work together, and then personal comfort training to help calm you after having heard the lowdown on everything that's going on.
Okay, wonderful. Let's move now to the question of subliminals, and I'd like to talk about two things.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk about 100 things, but I've got to hone it down to being able to somehow encapsulated into this short time that we have together. I've also been very verbal about subliminals, as I mentioned earlier, and you talk about things that I've talked about, too, in my books and in teaching. Let's talk about the subliminals used in The Exorcist. A lot of people don't realize what was going on in that movie,
mm-hmm.
how it was a real study and actually a test to see the effect of subliminals on the population. Would you elaborate on that?
Oh, sure. Well, give a little background information. Subliminal perception is the process whereby we receive and respond to visual and sound information without being aware of it. In other words, the message can be in the form of printed words, can be pictures, can be voices presented so rapidly or so faintly that we're not consciously aware of having heard or seen anything, but it affects us anyway, in spite of our not being aware of it. It's back in 1957 where it first came to public attention. I believe it was the book Hidden Persuaders by Vance Packard. He revealed that American industry was investigating, researching the use of subliminal technology to influence people to buy their products, and it caused an uproar, and rightly so, because here the American people were being informed that it was an industry, corporate America, was interested in influencing people to buy things without being, in other words, without it being a conscious...
Without their consent.
Without their consent.
Without their
yes.
conscious consent.
Right. At the same time, the famous experiment, to many people, was in a New Jersey movie theater. The message is, hungry, eat popcorn, and drink Coca-Cola. Were flashed
right.
on the screen at 1/3,000th of a second every 5 seconds during a movie, and as a result, sales increased for both popcorn and Coca-Cola.
But now, they increased something like, I think I remember hearing something like 1,000%.
Dramatically, yes.
Yeah.
Now, it caused a public uproar, and rightly so, and different state legislatures got involved, and Congress even got involved, and they were talking about passing laws to prohibit the use of subliminal messages, but it died down and nothing happened. There were no laws, and even if you had a law, how could you enforce it? Because of the very nature.
Because it's subliminal.
Right. You'd have to.
Because the answer to that question is you can't, because they say, what are you talking about? What's sex written in the ice? What penis symbol in the background? You've got a problem, lady.
Yeah, you got to.
Because when I first started noticing and showing these things to people, they'd say, Patricia, you've got to stop seeing penises everywhere. You know, I say that this is drawn into the background of this image, and my own boyfriend would say, honey, it's getting me a little concerned that you're seeing these things. I go, but don't you see it? Once you see it, you can't not see it anymore.
Yes, and it's
this
such,
is the thing about subliminal.
It's such common practice in all advertising. Sex and death images so common, not only back then, but even today.
Still. Even though I have a friend in the advertising business that when I ask her about this, she says, there are no subliminals used in advertising. She said, but if they were, they would be appearing in every 20th frame.
Why every 20th?
That's as far as she would go.
Oh, okay. Well, it's the initial research, the best research, was done by the advertising agencies themselves. And so that's secret stuff there. But even back in 1997 and 1998, Civilization Magazine, which is the official publication of the Library of Congress, it reported in one of the articles that subliminal messages is commonplace and an integral part of our everyday life, even back then.
Oh, definitely.
Admitting
there's no question about it.
It's like, you remember the, I don't know if you saw the movie, a Grade B horror picture, John Carpenter's They Live.
No.
Which, the main character, when he put on these special glasses, dark glasses, he could see the subliminal messages that were on billboards, newspaper magazine cover, headlines, magazine covers, on TV and whatnot. It was, basic story was that, the planet had been invaded and controlled by, an extraterrestrial species, another dimension. And so, and you could also see them, they were parading, masquerading as human. But if you put on these dark glasses, you could also see who they were as well as seeing all these subliminal messages. And it's part of our everyday life. What happened with The Exorcist that you initiated this portion of our conversation? is, and what's interesting is that the author of the book and the producer of the movie, William Peter Blatty, he was a CIA operative, served as the policy branch chief of the psychological warfare division of the United States.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Well, you know, they didn't hide that because that was on the jacket cover of the book. That's where I got
that. Run that by me again. What was his title?
Okay. He was, served as policy branch chief of the psychological warfare division of the United States Air Force.
Interesting.
And a CIA operative. So, no, there's long been this connection between Washington, New York, and Hollywood.
Sure.
I mean, the media is the fourth branch of government. You couldn't have effective propaganda without the mass media, and you couldn't have the coordination and control without the consolidation of ownership in fewer and fewer hands. And that's something that's happened over the years. Right now it's five multinational corporations that are controlling all this, and it facilitates the propagandizing of the population.
Of course.
But going back
okay,
to
the... Okay, so what were they doing with The Exorcist then? Was it indeed a... like a test marketing.
I don't know if it could have been a test. They've done so many tests over the years. And going back to the days of radio, the famous radio broadcast Orson Welles, "The War of the Worlds," that caused panic. People actually thought that New Jersey was being invaded by Martians.
Right, but The Exorcist was much more sinister, and from the point of view that here we were being—they were using reverse speech, they were using overlays, sound overlays.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
sure. No, it's some of those were first. They were used in the 1950s. There was a movie called "My World Dies Something Screaming." My World Dies Screaming. A horror picture that used some of the same techniques that The Exorcist used, but they were using death masks, building into the soundtrack, pigs, the sound of pigs being slaughtered, the sound of angry bees buzzing. So we respond automatically to certain words, to certain sounds affect us where it won't cause increased heartbeat, affect the pulse, respiration. We can be played like a musical instrument because our body is sensitive and responds to different frequencies, sound frequencies.
Oh, we're so in sync, Stephen. I just love talking to you because I completely relate to what you're saying here. I'm sure you're going to talk about how different sounds affect different glands
and different parts of the body, for sure. Like in rock music, the use of bass tones in lower frequencies, the driving beat of a lot of rock music is meant to affect the pituitary and to where the music feels good, to elicit a sexual response to it, so that it,
and to keep people in those lower chakras.
Right, right. And then, our bodies can be played, in other words. Remember that years ago there was a famous commercial for Memorex, I think it was audio tape. Ella Fitzgerald sang a high note and broke a glass.
Right, I remember it.
Literally broke the glass. I mean, that is a demonstration of the power one of the human voice, but of how we are affected by all these different frequencies.
Sound over matter.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you think, what was the point of The Exorcist? Were they using these techniques to raise the, I don't think, I'm asking you the question,
well,
but I don't think.
Well, they scared people. People had nightmares as a result.
Right, but that would have been, let's say, the commercial application of this technology, or do you think it had a more sinister intention, and that was to test how people could be manipulated?
Oh, I would think it's multi-purpose because of all the research that the various government agencies, the military, CIA, not only of our government, other governments, their interest in their mind control experiments have been to find ways to impact the consciousness of the population for in order to control it. So you have these so-called non-lethal weapons that have been developed, that have been tested and used, where there have been large numbers of people demonstrating in protest, for example, of the Iraqi war early on in Bush's administration. Back in 91, the first Gulf War, don't know if you may recall this, that the seasoned fighters of the Saddam's Republican Guard, they surrendered in massive numbers.
In mass numbers, yes, I remember.
As a result of technology that was being used, they called, Pentagon called it psychotronic weapons, had to do with the use of sound frequencies to disorient them, and in fact they were grateful to their captors coming out waving white flags and kissing the hands and bowing to the to their captors, and which was so out of character for such seasoned fighters. So and some of this technology that has had military applications has been and will be used on the general public at large for those who object to the implementation of the New World Order.
So obviously the listener is thinking, so what can we do to protect ourselves against this technology?
Well, again, that's why the overview and the continuing work that I'm doing, that there is another audio presentation that is under development. But right now I just got The Mind Control in America, The Wake Up America, and my dad's audio personal comfort training. It has to start with education. That's the beginning point. And then...
And I think that it's important to remind people that they have got to keep their... raise their mind, the frequency that their own minds are emitting, so that they are not resonating to that vibration.
That is
not
correct.
Allowing themselves to entrain to that lower frequency.
Yes.
I really believe that with the mind you can overcome any invasive.
Well, high thoughts.
Energy.
The motto of modern civilization has been high living and simple thinking. It has to be switched around to high thinking and simple living.
Touché.
Yes.
All right, before we leave tonight, because we were already at the hour, but we've been given a little extra time by the producer, I would like you to talk about the music and that reverse sound. What do you call it, overlaid?
Backward masking and reverse speech.
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz about reverse speech and backward masking, and I the first time I really heard it clearly was on your CD when you played the two examples of the music.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. Backward masking is where a message is literally played backwards, and the mind has the capacity to straighten it out and hear the message, decode it. So it can do it both with sound, and it can do it with mirror images of picture as well. Backward masking was the first use of it, first item given public exposure was something that the Beatles had done. And one of their songs, I think it was Revolution No. 9, and to play it backwards, the rumors swept across the globe that Paul was dead. But no, he wasn't. That very likely was a test. Because the whole British invasion in the 60s of music from England, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, they were plugged into the Tavistock Institute. And so we had a cultural revolution that was part of this mind control technology and operation.
You think they were supporting the technology?
Oh, I think that that Tavistock was behind them for sure. Yeah.
Behind the Beatles?
I think they were involved with them. Yeah.
What was the Tavistock Institute?
That's the premier psychological warfare research tank in Great Britain.
So they were using the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, and other groups. I mean, not just them, but that just comes to mind right now.
It's kind of a bummer to hear that when we keep thinking about the song Love Is All We Need.
Well, it doesn't mean that all the work was contaminated. It just means that it was part of the program. Some of the, what's his name, Adorno, Theo Adorno, involved in writing some of it, as I recall.
So that may have been part of their...
Oh yeah,
the deal. They get ultimate fame if they just do this one little thing.
Well, I wouldn't suggest that that they were consciously complicit in any kind of dark dealings. But very often artists can be used without their knowledge, or even their soundtracks can be altered without their knowledge by the producers or by the record labels themselves. In the course of my research, I came across so many examples of backward masking. I had a log of about 900 different examples, and it just didn't seem...
Excuse me for interrupting you, but that is really diabolical. You're suggesting that the potential artist lays down a track, and then whoever comes in and does a reverse mask on the music and puts down another...
Sure.
Oh, that is really...
I mean, that's one. It's either like in some of your heavy metal groups that are involved in the dark side would be doing it consciously, but others could have their work tampered with and not even be aware of what is.
How does a person? How can a person listen to this backward sound?
Good point. Sometimes you can catch it. You'd have to. Play it backwards and see what, I mean...
How do you play it backwards? The examples that you show, that you do on your CD, how do you do that?
Okay,
you
that was, I had a series of tapes provided to me where someone else had done it. And so I pulled the best examples, the best two examples.
So I would imagine you'd have to have have it on tape rather than on CD.
Well, you could probably do it on a computer and go back. I'm sure you could and go back with
very
with
strange
it.
Stuff.
But it is, especially and the component of that, the reverse speech technology. I forgot the David Oates researcher from Australia. He was doing recording and playing it backwards and found that periodically that information, there were sentences and fragments of sentences that were commenting on what was being said by an individual that would either confirm the truthfulness of their statements or contradict what they were saying. And so that's part of the mix. It is a, he's used it, it's been years since I've looked at that material, but on politicians and do catching them and saying things that were not truthful, but I guess that's not hard to do. Once a politician starts speaking, chances are you're not going to get the truth anyway.
They've become much more secure that they can get away with saying pretty much of anything these days.
But what's interesting about this past election and some of the information that came out about the president-elect is that his use of conversational hypnosis in his speeches, neuro-linguistic
program. Yes, I was going to ask you about that too.
And which I found very interesting. That I don't believe he's a professional hypnotist, but most definitely he has been coached by people who are. That his handlers do understand hypnotic programming and that have schooled him in its use, because some of his speech patterns and his delays, the pauses that he takes are not natural pauses of someone who is thinking about what they're going to say next, because all these speeches are written out and delivered, and the use of teleprompters so that the candidates or politician can read what is being presented. No, it's I've seen some examples that are floating around of him of that, and it's just it's not surprising, but it shows his willingness to use manipulative and deceptive techniques in his communication with the public. And
now, it's interesting that you should refer to the people that are serving him as his handlers, but I don't think I want to get into that at the moment.
Mm-hmm. they all have people behind them. I mean, there's a continuity.
Yes.
That's why there's a continuity, regardless of who's in office, whether it's a Democratic administration or Republican. There's a continuity of direction where the country is going, and that is because of an unseen powers that are running the whole show. That we don't have a two-party system in this country. We have a one-party system, and
in the world.
In the world, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I've watched him too, and I see a lot of that. And also, he loves to use Martin Luther King's pauses,
mm-hmm.
his emphases, his eloquence. He uses this all the time.
Well, what's interesting, not only that, but in some of the things that he has said. Come from the Spike Lee movie Malcolm X, where Malcolm
mm-hmm.
X is making a speech about the people being hoodwinked and bamboozled.
Mm-hmm.
Obama made the same speech, in effect, using some of the same words.
And he does that Martin Luther speech when he says, "Because I believe," and this, he does it to the T.
Well, people. It's like it triggers things in people because
that's right.
they don't connect where they heard it before in the pattern, but it does have an emotional context and impact on them. And
well, especially because I would like to believe that where they heard it before was the real item.
Yeah,
and it triggers that hope.
Yes.
of a dawn that. I also hope for, but I don't think it's coming from the politicians.
Oh, no, it can't, because anyone who can help the people will not be presented in front of the media and given that kind of exposure.
For sure.
That these people are pre-selected.
What do we close this wonderful time we've had together with as a message of hope and empowerment to the people that are listening to us this eve?
Well,
or day, as it is on your side of the Atlantic.
The fundamental issue is a spiritual issue, that we are first and foremost spiritual beings. And the source of the problem is that so many people have misidentified themselves as the physical body. We have a physical body. We're not the physical body. It's not who we are. People think that life and death are opposites. Not so. Birth and death are opposites. There's only life. We are life. We're born into this world. We're not born. The body is born into the world. The body dies. We're not the body. We're coming into a time where we'll come into the recognition and realization that death does not touch us as spirit. Because we're spirit. And we're here. This is part of our education. To come into an awareness of exactly who and what we are, who and what God is, what our relationship is with one another, and come into the recognition that we are truly one. That in the Bible, in Exodus 3:14, Moses' realization that and the only words that are in all capitals in the entire Bible, God identifying his name, giving his name, and saying who he is. He says, tell the Israelites, I am that I am. I am, our sense of being, our sense of awareness, is God. And it is the same in every living being. Regardless of language, regardless of culture, that I am, when we are quiet, our sense of our true knowing is there for us to realize, unobstructed by thought. We can become quiet as in the stillness and silence that we come into knowledge. because God lives in each and every one of us and is there to give us what we need to know at any particular time if we stop the chatter of our minds. And that's what meditation is about, to learn how to do that, to stop all that chatter so we can listen.
And the interference. So let me close with a suggestion to everyone who's listening tonight, that think about what you've heard tonight. Certainly it isn't the first time you've heard it, but as a reinforcement for a growing awareness that it's time to release yourself from the entrainment of these mechanisms. Put on, if you need support, play some classical music. Raise yourself to the higher vibration of what humankind is capable of. Unplug as much as you possibly can and assist others to hear the music rather than the hum, and to see the light rather than the glare. And with that, I would like to say goodbye for today. First of all, thank you so much, Stephen. I hope you'll come back, because I'm sure we have many more things to share on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your wonderful insights. Again, his website is mindcontrolinamerica.com. Check it out, please, and give him your support. And please come back with me next Thursday. I'm going to have another dynamite speaker. His name is Jesse Marcel. He wrote the book, The Roswell Legacy. So you want to tune in for that. Stephen, I hate to say goodbye, but I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Oh, yes, we will. It's not goodbye.
We are soulmates on many levels, and it's an honor to.
It's just so long for now.
All right. Thank you so much. Goodbye, everybody. You've been listening to Beyond the Matrix. And remember, dare to think outside the box of convention and soar in the free mind zone. Arrivederci. Speak to you next Thursday. Bye-bye.